Beasley Media Group, BMI, and HD Radio present 100 Years of Radio, 100 Years of Hitmakers, where we celebrate a century of country radio hits written by some of the greatest songwriters of all time.
Hey, this is Brian Ives. I'm the managing editor of Beasley Media, and I'm hosting a series of interviews with country's biggest songwriters and producers. We're digging deep, talking about some of their greatest songs. You may not know their names, but you definitely know their hits. This week, we're talking to Thomas Archer. He co-wrote Luke Combs' Lovin' On You, and he's also co-written songs for Jason Aldean and Mitchell Tenpenny, among others. So let's just get into it.
But I'm in love, and loving on you. I feel that rush as you're walking around.
So Thomas, talk about writing Luke Combs' Lovin' On You.
Lovin' On You, we actually just stumbled on it one weekend. It was in 2017, and Luke had just gotten his first artist bus. So we'd been riding with the band 12 deep on a 12 bunk bus for the longest. And this was his one of the first runs where he had his own bus. So he took out a couple riders, took a few of us out. And I believe we were in Kansas City, Missouri when we wrote this song. And funny fact, a guy brought us barbecue that day on the bus. And he said, "Hey, do y'all mind if I sit here and watch you write a song?" So we tossed around some ideas, and he sat there and watched us write Lovin' On You in about an hour and a half.
Don't get me wrong, I like a bobber on the water, hooking them and reeling them in.
And so, what, you know, like, what is it that you add? Are you playing, you know, are you playing guitar? Are you playing keyboards? Are you writing lyrics with him?
That day we had a guitar. I had just, my wife actually got me a 1956 Gibson LG1 that I was so proud of and happy to bring out. She brought it for me for a present for Hurricane going number one. And so I was excited to take it out on the road and ride it with Luke and tell him how I had this guitar. So I think I'm pretty sure I was holding the guitar, and we started riffing around a little bit, but we wrote it on that guitar.
I was going to say, I would have thought you would have left that one at home just because you don't want that getting like lost on the bus or something.
Oh no. I mean, Luke has several of that age and older, so I didn't feel, I didn't feel like it'd get lost or, you know, mistreated by any means.
Sure. So what is that like when you're going on the road with a guy like that? I mean, obviously his main concern is playing those shows every night. What's the schedule? You know, how does your day go when you're touring with Luke and getting to write songs around his schedule?
Man, like, we're on his time. We just try not to get in the way and enjoy our time and respect their space. And we're kind of at, you know, or their discretion of their time. And we just kind of sit around, toss some ideas, and wait on when they want to write. Like, Luke might be a guy that he might not want to write on Thursday night or Saturday, and we write on Friday. I mean, it's just, you just never know. On that particular run, I remember we went and played golf one day and played football in a parking lot one day. And then finally we wrote this song the next day. So you just, it's always different depending on who you're going out with.
It's not a bad work week, though, if you're out on the road for a few weeks doing that. You get to, like, do other stuff, and then I'm guessing at some point you're like, all right, we're out here for a reason. We got to start playing.
Oh, yeah. You definitely start pushing them a little bit. If it's Saturday and you haven't written anything yet, you definitely wonder what you're doing out there. But the artist, if they bring you out there for a long weekend, they definitely respect your time as well and want to make the best use of it and try to get a great song out of it.
Are they, I mean, I don't know if you could say, are they paying you for the time to be out there? Is it just like, if we get a song, we get a song. If not, hope you had a good time.
Basically, if we get a song, we get a song. We always get something. I mean,
right.
We don't come home empty-handed or anything. But you're never paid for your time. We don't get paid to go to rights. I mean, it's more backing and incentive on all that, you know.
Sure.
And we're all buddies, so I mean, it feels like we're hanging out and we're investing our time into something we think that we love and that we think that everyone else will love as well.
So talk about, you know, obviously you were playing guitar in it, but, like, you know, what was the intent of the song? What's it about to you?
Funny, I mean, we started writing it so fast, and it just felt like an up-tempo, good old boy, redneck love song. And around the second verse, it wasn't till then that I figured, okay, I guess we can go for this. And that's where the Sunrise Duck Blind Birdie on a Par 5 came from.
I like a Sunrise Duck Blind Birdie on a Par 5 Miller Lite before.
I love hunting and golfing and Miller Lite, so that was selfishly some of my brain there. But, I mean, that was one of those, a lot of times you you chip away at a song and chip away. This one, we just kind of, it wrote itself. It felt right all along. It was just one line led to the next. And it may have been less than an hour and a half. It may have been an hour and it was done.
Wow. And do you remember the first time hearing it on the radio?
I do. And funny thing is, I feel like I hear my songs for the first time on the radio in the same place. I live in Nashville now, but our families are all in Georgia and we have to go through Atlanta. And it goes, every single time we go through Atlanta, we hit traffic. And I feel like I hear my songs in traffic for the first time in Atlanta.
And have you had the experience, I ask a lot of songwriters this, of, you know, Luke is one of the hottest artists in country right now, if not the hottest. So his songs are played everywhere. Do you find yourself in a bar, a restaurant, a supermarket, where somebody's listening to a Luke Combs song that you co-wrote and they have no idea they're standing next to the guy who wrote it or co-wrote it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the funniest was a guy, we were in Key West on a vacation, and a guy came down Duval Street on a motorcycle, like a biker guy, singing Hurricane as loud as he could. And I was on the sidewalk, and he would have never known, but it made my day.
Do you ever say, hey, that was me?
No, I haven't. I did that in an Uber one time. My Uber driver was singing one of our songs, and I said, hey, I'm actually one of the writers on that song. Thank you for loving it. So,
what did he or she say?
Well, first off, they called me a liar, and then he said, you got to be shitting me. And excuse my language. And then he turned the radio off and said, will you sing it? And I said, no, you're doing a great job. You finish it.
I mean, it's a weird thing to lie about, too. You know, although I'm sure there are some charlatans who would probably try that out anyway, you know.
Yeah.
But it seems like a weird claim to make. But that's really funny. So Hurricane was the first time you worked with Luke, right?
Right. That was the first time I met Luke the day we wrote Hurricane.
Wow. So how does that, you know, how is it presented to you? Does the record label say, hey, we've got this new guy. We think he's got something. You know, can you do a write with him? How does it work?
I actually heard his voice on She Got the Best of Me from a buddy. And I said, I don't know who this is. I don't know him. Is he in Nashville? I love his voice. We should write with him. And Taylor Phillips, the co-writer of Hurricane, lined that up. And I didn't know who Luke was. Some of my buddies hung out with him and everything. And that was the first time I was able to be around him, was the first day in the writing room.
So that's really interesting, because a lot of times people collaborate and, you know, they kind of knew each other. But like your first time is like, okay, here's the guitars, here's the piano or whatever. Like, let's write a song. Is that could that be uncomfortable, or what is the vibe like with that?
As a writer in music business, I feel like you're pretty numb to uncomfortable. it's just another day at the office, and it's just another roll of the dice of, let's see if we can come up with something that people love. And that day in particular, we all walked in and writing Hurricane, and I was tuning the guitar, and to check to make sure the guitar was in tune, I played the intro to Hurricane, and Luke said, what is that? And I said, I don't know. He said, let's write to that. I said, what are we going to write? And he said, well, I have a title, Hurricane. I said, what's it about? And he said, I don't know. So we kind of made up a story that everyone could relate to that day. And all days are different. I mean, that was definitely a rare day for it to start and go as well as it did, though.
And I mean, at that point, you probably had no idea he would get as big as he has gotten in pretty short time, it feels like.
Oh, no. We finished it and it was like, all right, see you later. What's your number again? And I mean, just another day. And that goes with a lot of songs. You don't realize how good they are, if they are good, until later down the road, and you get a little, you start revisiting things a few weeks later, a few months later. Or if someone, with that one in particular, I remember I was riding with my buddy John Langston. I think we were going hunting, and he was playing, we were swapping demos, and he played me the demo or the cut of Hurricane, said, have you heard this song? And I said, buddy, I wrote that song. And he said, no way. So that's how I figured, that was one of the first, like, I felt like that song was being accepted more so than just us as writers and as, you know, the writers of the song, is when a buddy compliments a song and he doesn't know that you wrote on it.
For sure. So when you wrote that with him, did you know it was for him as an artist making a record, or was he just presented to you as another writer and you were writing a song that somebody somewhere might record?
I mean, a little of both. He didn't have like the biggest artist career going on at the time.
Right.
But we wrote it for him.
Right, right, right.
But always you think of like who else could do this at the same time. And I don't even know if we sent it around at all. I mean, from the moment I got it back, it didn't feel like, it felt like the only person that could do it is Luke, because it was so good when his voice on it. I can't hear another voice on it.
That's interesting. So you guys obviously hit it off pretty quickly. When you were writing, when you were writing Hurricane, did you, he had the idea for the song title, but were any of those lyrics like yours in the way that you described, from Lovin' on You?
I don't remember. It was one of those where you really, it's such a trade-off of the write was running so smoothly that it was a trade-off on who came up with what ideas, and you write it and you just don't remember. It was, I think it's equal credit across the board on that one, for sure. As most good, great songs are, I feel like. It's one line leads into the next, and when it's all said and done, you're just happy with the product that you came up with.
And that was your first number one.
That was my first number one. That's my technically that's my only number one right now. So,
So talk about that. Like, where when did you? I know in Nashville in particular, there are big celebrations around number one singles, which that doesn't happen in top 40 or rock or whatever. Talk about when you found out you had a number one song.
Luke called me. He was in Key West at the BMI Songwriters, and he FaceTimed me, and he said, and I knew we were close, but the song at the top of the charts at the time was Body Like a Back Road.
Oh.
And that was a monster song, okay? The song behind us was In Case You Didn't Know. Mm-hmm. We were in the middle of two monster songs, and we just didn't know if we were going to go. And then Luke FaceTimed me and said, hey, buddy, we're going number one this week. And that, I was in Georgia at my family's farm, and that just, it felt like a lot of years of hard work and being told no was paying off.
Wow. What was the first song of yours that you ever heard on the radio?
It was Ricky Young and Bubba Sparks, Baby What's Up. It was
wow.
And yeah, that was the first time. Well, baby, what's up? I'ma tell you what, you're the finest thing out here. Yeah, that's what's up.
I remember Bubba Sparks, I remember when he first came out as like a hip hop guy on, I think, Big Boy's record label from Outkast.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
So what's it like hearing your song on the radio for the very first time?
It was unbelievable. I mean, it's one of those where you're in the moment, you expect it, and you think all the hard work it puts in is, will pay off. I think the most rewarding thing was being around people that you thought, you were pretty sure they believed it. Like for me, it was my parents, and being around them when they heard it for the first time. And, when you tell your parents, yeah, I'm not going to go get a real job, I'm going to go write music and move to Nashville, even though they're supportive, they have to think, what's he thinking?
Right.
So when they hear it for the first time and I was around them, and seeing them light up, that meant more to me than me hearing it personally.
Got it. So talk about, back to Luke, the first time you heard Hurricane on the radio must have been a much different thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And that one, I think, once again, I was in Atlanta. I'm pretty sure I was passing through Atlanta traffic. We go back to see our families a good bit, and those radio stations are very fast to catch on to new country music. So I feel like I've heard most every song I've had on the radio in Atlanta for the first time.
Wow. Are there a lot of other songs that you wrote with Luke that haven't come out yet, or are there things that he's planning on using in the future?
I'd like to think so. You always want to have more irons in the fire. But
for sure.
I think we haven't written the most songs. I'm sure he's written a lot more with a lot of other songwriters, but we've definitely made the ones count that we have, I feel like. We haven't missed any.
Right.
Put it that way.
So talk about writing Got What I Got for Jason Aldean, obviously another one of the hugest stars in country music. When I got what I got, I don't what I had. The old me before you belongs to the past. In the back of your mind, you might think there's something more I want, but when I got what I got, girl, I don't. Got What I Got, we wrote in August of 2018, and one of my buddies, Alex Palmer, was in town from LA. He's primarily a resident out there and does music in Los Angeles, and he was in Nashville, so whenever he comes to town, we try to make time for him and write whenever is he's available. And so myself and Michael Tyler called him on an afternoon, and I brought the idea in, and he had that funky track. They built the song around his track, and even I think cut it around his and incorporated his elements into the what you hear on the radio today, and it's very similar. When I got what I got,
yeah, that was one of those that we wrote, and honestly, 45 minutes, it kind of fell out, and I really didn't go back to it for that one for a couple months. And after then, I kept going back to it because it was just so different. And we had written maybe like 3 songs that we thought Jason would do, and they sent us an email saying, he's cut and got what I got. And I remember texting the songwriters and saying, are you sure he's cutting that one? You sure it's not one of the other couple that we wrote that week? And they said, positive. So that song's been a blessing. And yeah.
And so you guys, like, basically, you know, you do a session saying, we know Al Dean's working on a record or starting to. We know that he's looking for songs. We're going to knock out a few, and we hope he takes at least one. That's how that works.
Right. And that particular day, we always think, all right, what would Jason say? How would he do this? How would he do that? Mm. On that day, we just wrote a song that we thought was cool. I don't think we brought up his name one time. We didn't bring up anyone's name. We just wrote a song that we all liked. And I think that's what made it authentic and made it stand out.
Sure. Let me ask you about one other song. When Somebody Ain't You, Mitchell Tenpenny, how'd that come about?
That's a weird story. We were actually, it's the weirdest song I've ever written where I wrote it. So we were in, Mitchell invited me to Lakin, Alabama to a songwriting retreat. And we weren't even really writing for him. We were just a bunch of people at a company writing. There's probably 10 of us. And we had these scheduled writes, and it felt like you were being told you had to do something at a certain time. Mm. And then everyone's cuts loose at night, and, you know, you're all drinking, hanging on the porch, telling stories, all this and that. And I noticed Mitchell was sitting down by the lake with Dallas Wilson. And I said, well, let me go see what they're doing. I'm overhanging out on this porch. And there was a boat under the dock at the lake, but you could sit on the back of the boat and just kind of hang your feet off and hang out. And I walked down, and they said, yeah, you want to write a song? This is probably about 1 in the morning. And I said, sure. And, you know, kicked my shoes off, jumped over on the boat, and a storm came up, but it wasn't lightning, it was just a storm. And we wrote the song during that storm on the back of this boat on a lake in Alabama. Somebody and you. And in fact, I mean, we'd been up all night that night having fun. And the next day I said, did anyone record what we wrote last night? Because I'm not sure if I remember how it goes, nor do I have a lyric. And Dallas Wilson had the recording of it. And I don't think we changed one word before he cut it.
Wow.
But that story of how we wrote it and where we wrote it and just the elements around us is by far the most unique songwriting experience I've ever had. Every time I tell the truth, why don't we restart? Every time we are trying to move on, girl, it's so hard when you call me. Your friend saw me with somebody, but that's
so what do you have next? You know, do you have rights for specific artists coming up, or are you going to do your own record?
Never my own record. I'm always just thinking, you know, 2-3 years down the road. I mean, after having a little taste with Jason, I mean, that's always something you always want to have is more success. And we always say have more irons in the fire and just continue doing what we're doing. Always writing with Luke in mind. You know, expand your network and try to get cuts on some of these young guys that are coming to town and just, you know, try to outbeat last year, I feel like is the way we always treat it.
Right, right. Obviously, you know, it must be weirder writing now because most people are doing it via Zoom. And of course, we all know Luke Combs is occupied on his honeymoon right now. Right. But do you guys have plans to get together with him when he gets home? Or
he had mentioned to me he was trying to put together a songwriting retreat. I flew up to Minneapolis last year and to watch his show because I haven't seen him in a long time. And sometimes to get a little FaceTime and to actually be able to take in the show, you have to go a good ways from Nashville.
Yeah.
You know, so you don't run into, you know, it's not to get on the list, so to speak, you know. And we flew up there. It was a great show. He sold out, was it St. Paul, and killed the show. And we were talking. He said, man, I'm putting together a writing retreat. And then the pandemic happened.
Right.
So I think we'll get around to it for sure, hopefully here in the near future, and start working on the next record.
Cool, man. Well, I wish you the best of luck with it. I hope to hear you on his next, you know, it sounds like that's a good horse to hitch your cart to, for lack of a better way to put it. And you were in early on that ride too. So that's awesome. And yeah, man, I wish you the best and hope to speak to you down the road, especially when he puts out whatever he puts out next.
Hey, I appreciate it. And anytime someone wants to spend some time with you and hear your story, that means the world to me. So.
Oh, cool, man. Cool. Well, I'll speak to you down the road. Take care, man. Have a good day.
You too.
Thanks to Thomas Archer for spending so much time with us. And thank you for listening. Next week, we're talking to Jesse Joe Dillon, who's co-written classics for Maren Morris, Cole Swindell, and most recently, Dan and Shay's 10,000 Hours. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time.
100 years of radio, 100 years of hitmakers.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.